Revelation chapter 20 this evening again, please. Revelation chapter 20. This really is Dan Williams' story to tell, but I get the pulpit more than he does, so you can get all the details. We spent a couple of days out in Grand Island helping the church that the Rices attend now put up a building. And the pastor has four little girls. The oldest is just about 10. And the two oldest were walking along, and Danny said to them, "Do you like Mr. Rice?" "Oh, yes, we like Mr. Rice." Danny said, "No, come on, tell me the truth. Do you like Mr. Rice?" And the 10-year-old said, "Well, he can be vicious." True words. Revelation chapter 20. I want to begin this evening by reading verses 6 and 7, and then we're going to circle around the long way and come back to verses 7 through 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." And we'll stop there. Let's pray. Father, I pray that it will be all of our desires, mine included, to know fully and faithfully your words, to cut them properly, to make straight cuts in them, to understand them clearly. And so we pray for the help and the ministry of your Spirit to us, that he who authored this book would explain it to us. And so give to us minds that are engaged with the text of Scripture. Grant to us understanding, we pray, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we'll circle back around because I really want to spend a little bit of time this evening talking about what is going on between verses 6 and 7. And obviously in Revelation chapter 20, nothing is going on apart from this. Those who have part in the first resurrection, which I argued last week, is first in the sense of those who are saved. There will not simply be one resurrection of the saved. There, it appears that there will be a couple, at least, of resurrections of believers. But that all falls under the label of the first resurrection. And those people then are spared the second death. And then there is the second resurrection, which is the resurrection of those who are unbelievers. For those who are believers, we are simply told in the book of Revelation that they will reign with him 1,000 years. And again, I'm not going to go back and revisit that or re-argue that or again enter into the debate of whether they are literal. I understand them to be literal. I have really endeavored to enter into the thinking and the explanation of those who do not believe they are literal, but I just simply have not been able to be persuaded. At the end, then, of those 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed out of his prison, which has been the bottomless pit. This does not mean that the Bible is silent on that 1,000-year period. And so let's just take a few minutes, and I'm just going to hit a variety of verses. Some I will read, some I will simply reference. But what does the Bible tell us about that 1,000-year period of time? Well, it tells us that Jesus Christ will be on earth reigning as king, and that is, of course, found in Revelation 26. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and reign with him 1,000 years. This is also the subject matter of Psalm number 2, in which we find a divine question. Why are the heathen raging? and the people imagining a vain thing, imagining this, that there is life without God. And the Father ends, the Son is at the Father's right hand, awaiting the decree when He will take possession of that which is His. I would ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. For he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So during that 1,000-year period, Jesus Christ will, in his glorified body, sit in the capital city, Jerusalem, and rule planet Earth. And he will be accompanied by Old Testament saints, including David, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 8. It shall come to pass in that day, saith Jehovah of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more make him their bondman. But they shall serve Jehovah their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. God promises the resurrection of David. Ezekiel 37:24, and my servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in mine ordinances and observe my statutes and do them. And so Jesus will reign on earth. David will be the king of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be there. Matthew 8:11, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So Old Testament saints will be on the earth at that time, as will, of course, church age saints. And again, Revelation 20 and verse number 6, all who have been raptured and have now received glorified bodies, 1 Corinthians 15. All who survived the tribulation, and what is unclear is whether all unbelievers will be killed at the end of the tribulation or whether some will be spared. I personally think, but I wouldn't fight you about this for one second, that the only survivors of the tribulation will be saints. That at the end of the tribulation, only saved people in bodies just like ours will be the survivors. But of course, we know from the book of Revelation that the earth experiences massive and widespread destruction. 25% die, Revelation 6-7, and then a third die, Revelation 9:15-18, which puts us at about 50% of the earth's population killed during that time. But there will be survivors for sure, including one-third of ethnic Israel. Zechariah 13, if you want to look at that. Zechariah 13 and verse number 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith Jehovah of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith Jehovah, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, And I will bring the third part into the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Jehovah is my God. Zechariah 13:9. A summary of all that God had anticipated, predicted, promised, and worked towards with reference to ethnic Israel. And so when we get to this 1,000-year reign, and there's much that we do not know, folks. There is just so much that we do not know. There will be Christ who rules on planet Earth. There will be those, we assume that it will include us, who will be in glorified bodies, in sinless bodies. And there will be those in natural bodies just like ours. Which means that there will be a percentage of people who are able to do just as we are, to enter into marriages, to have children, and to raise children. And those babies that are born will be born with their own sin nature. And it appears from Isaiah chapter 65 that one of the things that God is going to do in that 1,000-year period of time is return lifespans to something akin to what we found in the pre-flood days. Which, do we understand this? Now I'm just going to take a little bit of a sidebar here. Do we understand, folks, that our 70-year lifespans are fixed by divine decree? That they are not the consequence of our diet or our environment or chemicals in our food. That at the time of the wilderness, God made a declaration that we would live between 70 and 80 years. And that is what's going to happen. And all God needs to do is make the proclamation, and that will all come unwound. So that there is a scenario like Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So lifespans will be reversed during that time. And during that 1,000-year span of time, those who govern will govern only in righteousness. And those who speak on behalf of King Jesus will speak only the truth. And there will be no error. Safety and prosperity are the characteristic of the age. There will never be a news account of King Jesus explaining the steps that he is taking to combat runaway inflation. Never going to happen. The Old Testament informs us that nations will continue to exist, as will various ethnicities. Life will be very much, it appears, as it is today, with one major exception. The deceiver is gone. And much of the curse is reversed. Isaiah 11:7, the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. We know these verses, folks. I would simply argue they are pointing to literal events and a literal day when our children will be safe from any form of predator or predation. Isaiah 65:25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, a reversion to the Garden of Eden condition. Dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Jehovah. He is going to rule with a rod of iron. He is going to rule in justice and in truth. And the only permitted religion is the true religion, the worship of Jehovah. Zechariah 14, verse number 16. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Jehovah of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso of all the families of the earth goeth not up but unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Jehovah of hosts, upon them there shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, neither shall it be upon them, there shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, we always come back to this. Well, that can't be true, because how could you reinstitute the Feast of Tabernacles? I'm just reading the verses. So we have very close to a return, not entirely. The last enemy has yet to be destroyed. But we have very close, the closest thing that we have known since Eden, to the existence of an Eden. Safety, prosperity, tranquility, righteousness, justice. And while all of this is happening, parents are having children, and the world is once again experiencing a population growth. In fact, some people have calculated that during that 1,000 years, with the advanced life expectancy, that it is not inconceivable that 20 billion people could be living on planet Earth. But they are sinners. And with that, let's turn our attention to Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 7. We have not a generation, folks, but generations of people who have never known anything apart from economic prosperity. They've never been involuntarily unemployed. They've never walked unsafe streets. They've never experienced injustice at the hands of their government. They've never been exposed to the endless lying rhetoric. Our president, again this morning, promised he was going to combat taxes or inflation by taxing large corporations and billionaires. And I just turned the radio off in frustration and yelled, who believes that anymore? And an even bigger question is, where do you suppose those corporations are going to get all those tax dollars? That world will no longer exist. But when, verse number 7, the 1,000 years are expired, excuse me, Satan is loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. He had been bound and placed in the bottomless pit in chains for this specific reason, that he could no more deceive, that he could tell no more lie and add to that lie yet another lie, and to that lie yet another lie, and to that lie yet another lie, But now he is freed and he goes out to do what he does best, which is to deceive. And now for the first time, folks, in 1,000 years, there is an alternative to worshiping Jehovah. Satan is on the loose. Specifically Gog, and we've seen him. He is the king of the northern land called Magog. I don't think he's the same person. He's just not just like we've had many kings of Israel and many kings of other countries. He is the king of the land of Gog, of Magog. And they amass an army that is as uncountable as are the grains of sand on the beach. And they do what God, what Satan has always done. In verse number 99, they go after God by going after God's people. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. They go after God by going after God's people. And verse number 9 explains what God's reaction is to this. Quick, simple, efficient, merciless. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now I wonder, and this is just my thinking, I could not argue it factually and I could not prove it biblically, but I wonder if this is the framework for 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief, and then as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, the earth and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. You have the scenario for all of those in Revelation 20, 10 and 11, or 9 through 11. Peter then says to us, seeing that all these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness? So, my point simply is this, folks, that frequently we come to this passage and we go, see, nuclear war. And I would just take exception to that. Our God is a consuming fire. He doesn't need a nuclear weapon to burn the place up. He needs only to say to planet Earth, burn. And it is as melted as a candle. And we will get to this when we come back to Revelation chapter 20 in 2 weeks. But the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20:11 takes place somewhere that is not planet Earth. Earth and heaven are gone. So it may be that right here we have 2 Peter 3:10. So 1,000 years of peace and prosperity and security. And again, folks, arguably all the things that people are insistent that this is what they really want. Right? What do you want? I just want justice. We have 1,000 years of it. And I just want the rules to be fair. You'll have 1,000 years of it. And I just want not to be picked on because of my race or gender. You'll have 1,000 years of that. And I just want to live my life and be left alone. With some boundaries, you'll have 1,000 years of that. I mean, God promises the Israelites that every man will dwell under his own tree and under his own vine. You will not be a conscripted soldier. You will not have to sit in your porch like the guy in Israel with the gun in your lap waiting for the terrorists to come by. And then Satan is loosed. And with almost no effort at all, it seems, he's got millions of the world's inhabitants following him, going to war against the God who brought all those things to them. And so in verse number 9, God simply exterminates those soldiers. And in verse number 10, Satan is sent to his final doom. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Which literally reads, into the ages. He will be tormented into the ages. He will be put to eternal torture. And again, if that, I don't think that any of us are going to take exception to that. But if that sounds incredibly gruesome, it is nevertheless what the text of Scripture says. The word of the Lord. Satan will be tortured eternally. Now, so let me just close out tonight's message, folks, by making this observation. I believe that the 1,000 years are literal, but I do not believe that the passage is primarily about the calendar. The passage is about nature. What did 1,000 years of prison do for Satan? Nothing. Nothing. 1,000 years bound to contemplate how he got there. Right? The great timeout. While you're down here in them chains, think about what you did to bring you here. And when he got out, he was completely and totally unchanged. Well, what about the nature of people? People are completely unchanged by the presence of paradise. We were working at that building site Monday and Tuesday, and they had their to match the level of the new building with the existing church building, they had to elevate it, and they brought in tons and tons and tons of sand. And so the perimeter of our workplace was sand. And Brother Dan and I were hauling a piece of plywood around on that sand, and I said, this is terrible, the Sahara. And the pastor said, don't think of it as the Sahara, think of it as the Bahamas. And no matter how I tried to think about it, I came to the same conclusion. Sand is difficult to walk in when you're carrying a piece of plywood. Sand is sand. Righteousness is entrenched in the genetic DNA of the society. Christ the King rules with a rod of iron. The only religion you are exposed to is the religion that is true and right. The only people who are your governors are those who are just and equitable and fair and generous. The beginning of almost every home was a home that was the home of a believer. And yet human nature is still entrenched in its animosity to God and given the opportunity turned against him. So again, I would argue that it's 1,000 years, but I would argue that the bigger argument that is being made is that nature doesn't change apart from supernatural intervention. Armin, with that, I'm going to stop there this evening. If you want to grab your purpose.